Expo 72 has been one of the greatest experiences of my life. And we're asking you from here to go to the world and help evangelize the world before 1980. Now, we've heard a lot about the Billy Graham Organization and Campus Crusade for Christ. But we're not expecting to do it alone. There are hundreds of organizations all over the world that are preaching the gospel, and they're doing it faithfully. I think of the Wycliffe Bible translators who are out there digging and in the dirt and the grime and the unglamorous work of translating the Bible in the many tongues that it still needs to be translated. Or I'm thinking of my own denomination with its nearly 3,000 full-time missionaries in many countries of the world. And we're just a small part. Oh yes, there are probably nearly 100,000 of us here tonight. But we're a small part of that great army of Christians on every continent, of which we are brothers and sisters that make up the body of Christ. And they are structured in many evangelical evangelistic organizations, both in the church and outside the church, witnessing for Jesus Christ. And tonight, we reach our hands of love to them and say we join hands with you to touch the world for Christ in our generation. And we're grateful for the hundreds of churches that have sent delegations. We're grateful for the hundreds of organizations that are participating in Expo 72. And I say to you on behalf of all the staff, and I speak for Dr. Bill Bright, as he spoke so eloquently a moment ago and as he said all week, that we thank God for all of these groups that are working so hard and have participated so much. Now I want you to turn with me in your Bibles, if you will. I want to read to you a very important verse, and I want to talk about that verse. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. You have said this week by the thousands, I want to follow Christ. And here in Dallas, it's been fairly easy this week to follow Christ because there are 100,000 of us. And we've been gathered on a spiritual mountaintop. And it's been a marvelous and wonderful experience. But you've got to go home. You've got to go back to your same address, your same friends, your same family, your same school. And the question is, can you be a true disciple for Christ when you get home? Jesus took his disciples, three of them, up on a mountain. And we call it the Mount of Transfiguration. And there they saw Jesus Christ in all of his glory. And Peter was so excited, he said, Lord, he said, let's build three tabernacles, one for Elijah, one for Moses, and one for you, and let's just stay here. And then they heard a voice from heaven that said, This is my beloved Son, hear ye him. And Jesus said, let's go down the valley. And when they got down into the valley, they found a situation that they could not cope with. Here was a boy possessed of a demon. And the disciples were trying to cast the demon out of the boy, and they couldn't. They could not translate the mountaintop experience to the problems of the valley. And I want to ask you, can you translate Expo 72 into your town, into your family, into your campus, into your life situation when you get home? And I want to be very straight with you. I want to level with you. It is not easy to be a Christian. Not a real Christian. Not a New Testament Christian. Jesus never said it'd be easy. And when a great crowd of people were following Jesus and they were caught up in the thrill and the excitement of it all, Jesus said, wait a minute. Sit down. Count the cost. Do you know what you're saying? I'm going to a cross to die. Are you willing to go with me all the way to the cross? That's what Jesus said to the people that followed him. And after he said that, many of the people that had said that they would follow him no more. They had not counted the cost. You know, Abraham said, all right, Lord, I'll follow you. But he didn't know what it was going to cost. So God put him to the test. God said, Abraham, I want you to take your only son, take him to Mount Moriah and offer him as a sacrifice unto me. And Abraham, by faith, did what God told him. But can you imagine what went through his heart as he pulled out his knife and was ready to plunge it into the heart of Isaac? And God stopped him in midair. You're going to be tested when you leave here. God's going to test you. I've never seen a person make a commitment to Christ, but God didn't test him to see if he meant it. And God's going to test you to see if you mean. Or Joseph. Potiphar's wife tried to tempt Joseph to go to bed with her. Joseph was a long way from home, and he was a young man, a virile young man, and the temptation was tremendous because the wife was beautiful and sexual. But Joseph said, no, I have put my trust and faith in God. I will not sin against God. And he ran, even though he knew it might mean prison and death. He even left his coat behind. Are you willing to follow Christ if it means that? Or Daniel? They said, Daniel, you can't pray to your God in public. Daniel said, I always open my windows and pray three times a day. And Daniel was the prime minister of the empire. And they watched him. And Daniel prayed three times as he always did, took his public stand for God, and they threw him in the lion's den. But God closed the mouths of the lions. But Daniel didn't know that. Daniel thought he was going to be eaten up, but he was ready to be eaten up for the sake of his commitment to God. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said it cost him to follow Christ. He said, 5 times I've received 40 stripes, except one. 3 times I've been beaten with rods. Once I've been stoned. Twice I've suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been out in the waters in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen. And he listed many perils that he'd been through to follow Christ. But he said, it's all been worth it. The rewards are tremendous. You see, Christ taught that he must be the Lord of our lives. Now, when you accept him, most of you have accepted him by now as Savior. He died on the cross for your sins. You believe that. You've accepted it. But it's not just as Savior. You must accept him as Lord. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Have you received him as Lord? That means that he has total authority in the totality of your life, in every phase of your life. And Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you'll have to deny self, take up the cross. Now, what does Christ mean when he says deny yourself? Deny yourself what? An ice cream soda? What does he want you to deny yourself? He's not talking about denying yourself a specific thing that you may enjoy and may be legitimate. He's talking about denying selfishness. In other words, quit being selfish. And the self-life that most of us lead lends itself to self-indulgence. Sex outside of marriage, which the Bible says is wrong. Drugs, going to X-rated movies, too much leisure time in which you just goof off and cop out when the Bible says as a Christian you ought to invest your time. We're not to be conformed to this world, the Bible says. That's what the scripture teaches. We're not to be conformed to the world. We're not to be conformed to the world intellectually. The Bible says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can have the mind of Christ. And today what is needed among American young people is the Christian mind. The mind of Christ. What does Christ want me to do about this or that? What does Christ want me to do about my girlfriend? What does Christ want me to do about my vocation? What does Christ want me to do with my time? Where does Christ want me to go and study? The mind of Christ. And then we're not to be conformed to the world physically. The Bible says our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That body of yours is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Treat it as the temple of God. Don't take drugs into it that are going to destroy it. And we're to be clean. Now, I know it's been hard to take a bath here. I don't think it makes any difference whether we have long hair or short hair or a beard or no beard. That's a matter of style and taste, but comb it and keep it clean. Because Christians ought to look like Christians. They ought to have the smile of a Christian. And the Bible says that cleanliness is next to godliness. I'm not talking about the way you dress. The Bible doesn't have anything to say about the way you dress, except dress in modesty. And you interpret that in your own way, the way you feel that the Bible, that God wants you to dress. One girl said, I dress to knock the daylights out of the men. But after she found Christ, she said, I now dress as though Christ is my escort each evening. There's a difference. And then we're not to be conformed to the world religiously. We do not accept the world's definition of religion. We're not talking about a structured, organized church of one denomination or another. We're talking about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, I cannot tell whether you're Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostalist, Catholic, or what you are. We're one in Christ. He is our Lord and He is our Savior. But let me tell you this. Let's go back and prove to the pastor and prove to the church that Expo 72 helped the churches. Let's carry our faith back to the church. There is no such thing as a perfect church. If there is a perfect church, you join it, it'll become imperfect. Now let me tell you something else. Jesus went to church. He went to the temple and the synagogues of his day. And he set an example. They weren't all they were supposed to be. You go back to your pastor and say, Pastor, I've been to Expo 72 and I've come back and I want to help you. Jesus said, we're to deny self, and secondly, we're to take up the cross. The cross, what does he mean by that? A cross around your neck? A lot of you have crosses. Fine, that's not what he's talking about, though. Cross, some roommate that you don't like? No. The cross that he's talking about is to share his rejection outside the camp. You're to go to the cross. You're to be willing to suffer for Christ. Are you willing to go back and take a stand for Christ in your family, in your community, on your campus, even though it's unpopular? That's the cross. that he's talking about. And then thirdly, and follow me. One disciple said, well, Lord, how about letting me go bury my father? He said, let the dead bury the dead. He was teaching them that if they're going to follow him, everything else in life is secondary. And if we're going to evangelize the world by 1980, that means a dedication and a commitment that no other generation in the history of the church has ever had. I heard a story many years ago about a Presbyterian missionary couple. I've never checked its authenticity, but it comes to my mind as I'm standing here. It was a young couple from the beautiful Shenandoah Valley of Virginia, and they were very wealthy and they'd gotten married, and they heard a missionary tell about the need way out on the borders of Tibet, and so they offered themselves to be missionaries. They went out there. They crossed the mountains and the deserts. They learned the language. They lived in primitive poverty. And they ministered for Christ. And while they were there, they had two little children. And one day a plague came to their area. And their two children died, and they buried their two children. And then Mary, the mother, got sick. And John, the father, said, we're going to have to leave. I've got to take you to the mission hospital. 3 days' journey by raft on a river away. So they got on the raft and they started down the river. And the second night, she said, John, I can't go any further. So they pulled over and they landed. And that night, she said, John, I want to say something to you. And she whispered in his ear. And then she died. He buried his wife. He'd already buried his two children. He knew God had called him to those mountains on the borders of Tibet. He pulled the raft out in the middle of the river. And then all of a sudden, very slowly, he turned it around and with his oar began to paddle up the river. Back to the mountains. He could have come home to his beautiful home, to all the money that his parents had for him. But you see, when Mary had whispered in his ear that night, she had said, John, go back. Go back and finish the work God called us to do. And he went back. I want to ask you tonight, are you willing to go all the way with Jesus? He's going to call some of you to hard places. He's going to call some of you to study journalism. The greatest need we have on the college and high school campus today are Christian editors of our magazines. Get identified with your editors and get identified with your magazines, and let's get in there and witness for Christ. All over the world there are needs. And God has a place picked out for you. God has a plan for your life.